weekly comprehensive look inside high school athletics around the state on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge. From the recruiting trails to the offices of the LHSAA, we'll have you covered. Now, here's Kate Wazan, Todd Black, and Jimmy Roy.
Welcome to Louisiana Prep Weekly. Kate Wazan and Todd Black here at Schlitz and Giggles underneath the Perkins Road overpass. Jimmy Roy on assignment tonight. We got Jackson in helping us out, co-producing the program. Ryan Kennedy back in the studios on Government Street, as I mentioned, live here from Schlitz and Giggles, where right behind us the 196-inch projector screen showing a SportsCenter highlights, LSU playing tonight.
About to tip off, huh?
Yeah, if you want to get over here to catch a basketball game, NBA games, as we get into baseball season right around the corner, this is the place to catch your favorite sporting event. Take you, your friends, your teammates, the entire family here to Schlitz and Giggles under the Perkins Road overpass. And I'll have to find out, but last year during Lent, they had a pretty awesome pizza that had, like, shrimp and vegetables on it. If you were observing the Lenten season, Ash Wednesday, Fridays, et cetera.
So, and then St. Patrick's Day is coming up. They always have a big thing for St. Patrick's Day.
This is the place for St. Patrick's Day. Coming up in about 10 minutes from right now, we will welcome advocate sports writer, longtime prep beat writer, Robin Fambro, to talk about some of the recent headlines in the world of prep sports. We hadn't had a chance to talk with Robin in a bit, and there's lots that's going on, especially over the last week, much less since our last conversation with her. Since our last show, a couple of news and notes to pass along. First in football, Coach Todd Black, Dwayne Jenkins is now has accepted the head coach over position over at Lutcher, as we found out just a couple of weeks ago. Coach Tim Dettillier announced his retirement, and an alumni, a coach who has done a lot, I think, in his short time so far with St. James. I feel like that's a great fit for the Bulldogs.
Well, he was also the offensive coordinator over at Lutcher for a while under Dettillier before he went over to St. James. In his 3 years at St. James, he had a quarterfinal run and then a semifinal, or then a dome run, and remind you, that team was winless just 3 years prior to that. So he's done a really good job, and as always, it's tough for a coach to make a move. But you kind of felt like his heart was at Lutcher. Let me back that up. I didn't mean it in the notion that in disrespect to St. James, but when you've gone to a high school, when you've coached it to a high school, and you know the history of one, it's hard to tell him no. And it's more about his upbringing and where he was than it was anything else. And I think it's a good move for Lutcher and for Coach Jenkins as well.
Look forward to seeing how that plays out for Lutcher. And look, coming off a state championship for St. James, making quite a run in the postseason. There's a lot of expectations there. Even if there wasn't a state championship run for the Lutcher Bulldogs last year, that's one of those blue blood teams that expects to be competing, if not sitting in the Superdome on that weekend.
Well, it's one of those things we talk about, you know, when you talk about those small town schools there, you know, like the Lutchers, the St. James, you go all across the state and they all have that same build, Cade. And, you know, it's when a kid is 5 years old, he knows what school he's going to. He can't wait to get there, and it means everything when he gets there to play. Mm-hmm. And that's the advantage that these smaller schools have opposed to a kid in East Baton Rouge Parish who may be growing up in one part of town, but he doesn't really go to school in that part of town. He'll end up somewhere else before it's all said and done. So to have community-based schools are one thing, but then you have the commitment, for state championships, and small communities thrive on that. It brings them together, and that's exactly the community of Lutcher.
Tough news on the side of prep sports for the Bel Air boys basketball team, a team that was making quite a run this season. Was at one point 18-6 overall, 3-1 in District 6-4A since last time we had spoke. The LHSA made a ruling where they had to forfeit a couple of wins to ineligible players. And it's
a lot.
basically lost my train of thought there. Basically dropped them to 1-23 overall and 1-3 in district play. 17 games were forfeited because of the ineligible players. It's tough for the other teammates, but it was self-reported from what I gathered in the story by the advocate. Self-reported by Bel Air, and so it, you know, did the right thing, but it's tough for the other members of that team that had helped get that team to that point.
Well, that's the big thing. I mean, I think maybe how do we make it more clear to these parents, if it wasn't clear, what a bona fide move is, or when kids transfer that, you know, they need to be able to make sure that they are going to be eligible. My point is, where can the accountability come on that when a kid transfers in? Who does that accountability lie? And, you know, you would think the head coach.
AD, principal, I don't know if there's a combined effort.
So someone's got to be accountable for those type of things. It can't slip. You cannot just have a kid play for 23 games and all of a sudden say, oh, he doesn't fall under the criteria. Right. That's inexcusable in my opinion.
School was fined $400, placed on administrative probation for 1 year because the players played in excess of the 8 semesters allowed under the LHSA rules for 4 years of high school, according to an article by Robin Famber, our guest here in about 10 minutes, as well as their coach, Chauncey Moore. He'll be required to complete and pass either the LHSA's handbook certification course or the National Federation of State High Schools / LHSA Fundamentals of Coaching course. Now, this comes a week after we spoke here with LHSA Executive Director Eddie Bonine, and we were discussing what had happened from the convention about schools who were saying, we want that level playing field. We heard from the coach at Parkway about, well, our volleyball teams haven't been able to compete to win a championship. This makes it fair. You know, Bel Air is a school that's trying to get themselves, I would think, you know, they've struggled. Football certainly, you know, has really struggled to get themselves back into that competitive, I think, division they want to be in. And basketball was making a nice run. It happens, you know, and they self-reported it. I'm trying to relate this to what we've been hearing about the unfair level of competition. And I don't think anyone was complaining that the Bel Air boys were at one point 18-6 overall and 3-1 in district play. But, you know, it.
Well, probably because it's like Mr. Bonine has said before, most of the 88% of the transfers in the state go public to public. When you go public to public, there's never a problem. Mm-hmm. Or you go private to private, there's never a problem. It's when it goes from public to private is when you mostly hear a lot of the issues. So, you know, it'll be interesting how that all shakes out in the next couple of months. You haven't heard all about that with the split, but I understand what you're saying. You're saying, you know, it was really not even an issue, but they self-reported it anyway, and there was really
I guess what I'm trying to say is the problem comes in with the convention and the reasons behind the select and non-select split is that, well, what this school is doing, and it becomes, you know, kind of a blind complaint. But if you believe they're doing it, then report.
Right.
And start documenting this, and let's check. Okay, did they indeed get a player not through the proper channels? Did it go through? Was it ignored for 23 games? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not trying to pick on Bel Air, but all of the mess that we're in now seems like it could be avoided if we said, okay, this school's not doing this right. Let's go ahead and take some measures to see why they're not doing it right.
And why was it caught as late as it was?
Right, right. Instead of ignoring that and making a new process for everyone to have to play under because of one or two schools. Well, it's a long way to get to it, but
and what you're saying is correct, but that's why no one will stand up and say John Curtis and Evangel is the reason for the split. It's just that I think most of these people have skeletons in their closet. You start opening up, everybody's going to find out that, hey, somebody does something a little bit illegal here and there at some point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the whole point is there are a set of rules. Some people will break them. You know, it's like speeding. There's a speed limit. You get a ticket.
Don't be surprised. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can go 10 miles over the limit. Yeah, you can.
Does it stop you from speeding?
Probably not, no.
For about a day.
But you should know that when you get pulled over, okay.
Right.
Yeah, well, speeding.
So, but we also have some basketball coming up. We're going to talk to Robin Fanbro about that as well.
Soccer playoffs,
always big in this particular area. Wrestling, which Cade and I, neither one of us can figure out the brackets.
it's a giant bracket, Coach. I looked at it from a good bit of this afternoon, trying to get some progress of where we are. And I, honestly, man, I'm a little lost.
Have you read Ray Lewis's new book?
I have not.
Okay. You know, really, he credits a lot of his football success with wrestling because that was his first love.
Yeah.
And it helped him understand. He took that one-on-one mentality from wrestling and brought it over to football. And
winning the one-on-one matchup.
Win the one-on-one matchup. So he said that it's a little bit different when you get into football because obviously there's 11 one-on-one matchups, but you can't worry about somebody else's one-on-one matchup if you don't take care of your own. And so it's really interesting. I think a lot of football coaches, Coach Brewerton and Coach Mastretta, both big fans of wrestling. And you know, the ones I think where it gets kind of iffy is if a wrestling coach asks you to drop 50 pounds to wrestle in a certain class. That's the one where football coaches will kind of roll their eyes. But as far as the quickness, the maneuver, the hands, it's really, really good for players that are doing football.
Well, think about this. So much can happen on the initial move that is made on the snap of the football, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a lineman, I mean, it's making sure you're not lazy, you're not late to making that block and setting yourself up. And in wrestling, your first move, your first whatever. I don't know the techniques, but I'm assuming, you know, if you're late to the party, then you're gonna be down on the ground, and then before you know it, it's over. But that first move seems like it's very similar from in the sport of wrestling and at the line as a lineman.
In both instances, you got to be confident. I think probably in wrestling, you're a little bit more on an island, you know.
Yeah,
and all eyes are on you. But I think that, in both instances, and I think that's one thing that sports, regardless of what sport it is, it breeds confidence in kids. You know, the better players, or it teaches them to have confidence, because the more confidence they have, you know, the more aggressive they're going to be.
Okay.
And they're going to understand if they make a mistake, they're going to feel confident enough to be able to overcome it. And that's like coming off of the football. You know, we talk to a lot of great coaches a lot of times, especially Louis Cook and Frank Monica, and we ask them what's so unique about what you do, and they'll tell you, we don't do a whole lot. We keep everything simple. You keep things simple to make their thought process easier. And when they come off the ball, they come off the ball 100%. Wrestling, you know, and other things are very similar, I'm sure. So got a lot going on around the state right now.
Yeah, we'll talk with Robin Fanbro of The Advocate about some of those, certainly the ones that affect the Baton Rouge area. When we return, Cade Waza and Todd Black here live from Schlitz and Giggles underneath the Perkins Road overpass. It's Louisiana Prep Weekly presented by GMFS on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
This is Louisiana Prep Weekly on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Welcome back to Louisiana Prep Weekly here on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge. Cade Waza and Todd Black, Jimmy Roy out tonight. We are now joined by our good friend, longtime advocate sports writer, and longtime prep sports writer, more specifically, Robin Fanbro. Robin, thanks so much for joining us here tonight.
Oh, thank you guys for having me.
Robin, did you start in Baton Rouge?
What's that?
Have you been in Baton Rouge all your life with writing, The Advocate?
No. I'm originally from Kentucky and was a graduate assistant in sports information at Nicholls State. That's how I got to Louisiana first. Actually worked at the Daily Comet in Thibodaux. Worked in Florida for a few years. And worked at the Town Talk before we moved to Baton Rouge in 1989.
Well, Robin, you've covered prep sports for quite a while, and you've seen it, obviously, in Louisiana from the Bayou area, as you just mentioned, all the way to here. Before we get into some of the other news and notes that's come out since the convention last week, a week from today, a week ago, National Signing Day, a lot of good news for boys and girls signing national letters of intent. What do you think overall? How did it go for the Baton Rouge area?
Oh, I think it was a great year for the Baton Rouge area, maybe even a little better than we thought. Going into the year, other than maybe Caleb Roddy and a couple of other guys, it's hard to pinpoint football-wise. Hey, this is going to be your senior group. This is going to be your leader groups. I think Lindsey Scott's a perfect illustration of it. I think there were a lot of people who figured he'd go somewhere, where he would wind up going. And, of course, you know, he winds up having the storybook season. They win the state title, and he winds up also going to LSU. But you've got a lot of other guys who have gone to either state colleges or, my goodness, you've got Tony Durr at Dutchtown, who's going to Minnesota. Lloyd Cushenberry from Dutchtown was originally going to go to South Carolina and then Mississippi State, and now he's at LSU. You've got several young men who are headed to Tulane, and I think they're going to be a huge upgrade for that program. I don't even want to start naming them. Two that come to mind, I guess, because I'm so offensive-oriented at times. Receiver Chris Johnson from Scotlandville, and then, of course, also Doug Coleman at Zachary. It really turned out to be, I think, a better year recruiting-wise than maybe a lot of people thought going into it to Baton Rouge.
Well, Robin, as you just mentioned, covering and spending a lot of time down there on the Bayou, and certainly my familiarity with it as a graduate of Nichols. Coach Rebo over there down on the Bayou did another excellent job, it seems like, with football players from the capital city now making their next 4 years home down there.
No question. And I think the fact that he has a local guy on staff, and Anthony Camp, who, of course, played at Parkview and was a defensive coordinator at both Parkview and Catholic High, is a huge bonus for the Baton Rouge area. I think before, no matter who the coach was for a number of years, it was frustrating to a lot of our coaches because they didn't feel like, and not just Nichols, several other state schools would come in and it was like, well, you got to sell us on your players. And they were always skeptical and never were willing to take a chance, whereas when you have somebody with Coach Rebo's background and also with Anthony's background, they know the area, they know the kids, they know something about the programs that they're coming from. So, in other words, if Coach so-and-so says that, hey, that we think this guy's worth taking a chance on, maybe they will.
To your point, you know, ever since I coached, I guess I can remember that Tim Rebo was with ULL, and he had this area as well. So that really helped him and as well as his progression. Kay, did you want to go further with the recruiting?
Well, I mean, with the idea that we've seen the success of schools like Southeastern over the last couple of years and the success they've had, McNeese has been one of the pretty much the power school of the Southland Conference. It's interesting to see that Coach Rebo has been able to make a dent and get some of the quality athletes that are right here in our backyard with, outside of LSU, because we know the attention LSU gets and we know what happens on Sunday day being a top five, top three team. But there's players, as we mention all the time, that we follow that may not be the Alabama, LSU kind of guys, but Nichols is able to come
and
get some of those or Southeastern.
My whole thing about it is, and you know, everybody, and this is kind of a mama and papa thing, everybody wants their kid and thinks their kid is good enough to play at LSU, and that's not just football, that's a lot of other sports. But in a lot of cases, you're almost better off being a bigger fish in a smaller pond, where you're on a level where you're able to compete rather than maybe trying to make that leap to go to an elite level. Some guys get that chance, do very well at it. But the bottom line is, if you're looking, you're looking for your future. And it's not just about football. You look at where you want to get an education. And, hey, if you're good enough going to the next level, they're going to find you no matter where you are. Mm-hmm. And all of the state schools have had success with local players at some point during their tenure. You know, one guy that I'll point to that had some success before he got injured last year at Southeastern was running back Julius Marceland of Plaquemine, who was a guy 2 years ago. We're scratching our heads. He's our All-Metro MVP. Everybody loved the guy. He rushed for, you know, like 2,000 yards and was like an Iron Man. I mean, he played with injuries, and it was always what not to like about him. Well, you know, he may not be as fast as we like, or, well, okay, well, you know, he played with injuries. You know, things like that, and they just waited and waited for somebody to take a chance. Well, if, I don't know if you guys remember, but he didn't actually sign until very late, like actually during the summer when somebody else had dropped. They redshirted him last year, and he got a chance to play some games. I think he had at least one 100-yard rushing game, maybe a couple. And that just goes to show, you get a chance. Sometimes you can excel and make something very good happen. And I believe in our kids from Baton Rouge. We've got a lot of great kids, and I just like the opportunity for them to get out and go and have these chances at other places to show how good they are. And also, it's a good reflection on our coaches and our programs.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, let's change topics a little bit with some of the things that are going on now. We're in the middle of soccer playoffs and a big matchup between Santa Maria and Catholic.
Yeah, that's going to be starting in a few minutes, and that ought to be very interesting. You know, they were district rivals more recently, and, Santa Maria's got one of the best all-around athletes in our area on their soccer team in Briggs Bourgeois, who's not only a great place kicker in football. He was one of the national finalists for the Luke Rosa High School Award. He's also a great receiver. He was one of our area's top wide receivers. And he is a tremendous, tremendous soccer player. And, you know, the Gators have a tradition in soccer. Catholic has a tradition in soccer. Catholic's got a new coach this year, and they've kind of had to rebuild a little bit. They had a younger nucleus that was coming up. And I think it's an intriguing matchup between the two.
You know, I got a question. Of course, I read the paper this morning. Uh-huh. I didn't realize it's kind of a choice to how wide you can make a soccer field.
Yeah, apparently it is. That's not really my area. That's not really my area of expertise either. It's kind of weird. Football fields, traditional football fields, are narrow. It's narrower than a regular soccer field. And depending on the type of team you have, if you have speed and you can use that bigger field to your advantage. You know, that's no different in football. The old stories about people using the hose to water down the field to keep a guy who's fast from getting an advantage. If your team excels on a larger field, if your team is more physical, you know, you might be more suited to play on the narrower field.
We're speaking with advocate sports writer and prep writer Robin Thambro here on Louisiana Prep Weekly, Cade Wazzy and Todd Block. Robin, I tried to look through the LHSA state wrestling tournament bracket, and I was having some trouble. I was going to see if you can give me an idea, an update on how Baton Rouge is doing wrestling-wise.
Well, it's kind of a transition year for Baton Rouge. I think from what people are telling me this year and from what I've seen certainly with the city and other things, Santa Maria, speaking of, is a team that's made a quantum leap in wrestling this year. And they should do fairly well in Division One. Catholic High always does well in Division One, but doing well in Division One this year, it's going to be pretty much everybody trying to chase Brother Martin. Now Division Two, I don't know as much about in terms of team. Matter of fact, you're catching me before I'm getting a chance to interview some of our coaches to say who the actual team leaders are, but Brother Martin has probably been far and away the best team in any division this year. I just got to scan the seedings myself, and it looks like we've got some individuals who can do well. A lot of it can depend on the guys who aren't seeded very highly, if they can do well in the wrestle backs and add some more points, that's usually where teams pick up points in a tournament like this that can really help. Of course, Division III, Brulee has been the long-standing power there. Brulee's not fielding a full lineup this year for several reasons. I know they had a very good wrestler, Kendon Lee, who was one of their leaders the last 2 years. He was supposed to be a junior this year. His family actually moved out of state, so that kind of changed one dynamic. Plus, they also graduated a lot of guys who had been in their program for years. So they're kind of going through a little bit of a transition, and you could see a change in that hierarchy in Division III. So it'll be interesting to see. I think all eyes in the wrestling community are on the meet just to see how it goes, because you know there's a lot of consternation, or there was, on the part of the wrestling folks, and understandably so, about the tournament being moved to North Louisiana. And the philosophy was that, hey, if we move it there, maybe it'll grow the sport. And that's possible, but, you know, there's a lot of things that go into putting on that tournament, and part of the big takeaway on this is, too, a lot of the folks that have traditionally run that tournament are not involved this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how it actually goes off and how everybody handles it, and it's going to be interesting to see.
Well, the gentleman can't remember his name off the top of my head, but from New Orleans that normally goes and does a lot of the setup. He's not
Mr. Ravenak, Jim Ravenak.
Right. Hey, Robin, is there a quick answer to, I know how they do the divisions in soccer and in wrestling between all the schools?
Oh, they're divided up. They're divided up based on enrollments, and they're divided equally. So that's Robin, why you would have. That's why you would have. You don't have as many schools involved in wrestling, and when they divide them equally, that's how you can have a Central who would be a Division II team as opposed to a Division I team, even though for football they're 5A.
That makes sense. Okay. I was hoping there was a different formula. Just a thought. Hey, let me ask you about basketball and Scotlandville. They're just loaded every single year. Am I correct in understanding they had a sophomore go for 50 the other night?
Yes, he did. And anybody who has not seen Javonte Smart play needs to go see him play. They need to go see Scotlandville play. They need to go see some of our other teams play. I think we have some very good teams in the Baton Rouge area. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say we're going to win X number of state titles or anything like that, because it's never as easy as it looks. But, you know, the thing that impresses me about Scotlandville, and I've had several coaches in the area tell me this, is the way they play together as a team. Now, this is not a team like the one Carlos Sample had 2 or 3 years ago, where he had, you know, Damian Jones, who's now at Vanderbilt, who's 6'10". And then he had another guy who was 6'8", who came off the bench, and he had Bridgewater, who was 6'5". Your tallest guy this year really starts one of the taller guys, even though he's a guard. And then you have Garrett Green, who is their warrior inside. And I kid Carlos about that all the time. Garrett Green is probably around 6'4", although depending on the hairstyle, maybe you give him a little bump up to 6'5". But the guy plays great every night. Jordan Adebutu is a great outside shooter. You've got just also a lot of role players. I mean, the thing about it is, it's one thing to have great players, but if they don't understand their role and know how to play the game, you're not going to go very far. And that's the thing I like when I see Scotlandville. There are other teams in the area. I've been impressed with what I've seen of U High this year. It's a little bit of a different dynamic, a little bit of a different lineup, with Skylar Mays, of course, going off to Finley Prep. But, you know, they put together all the pieces, and it seems to be working and working well. And Madison Prep is Madison Prep, and they're going to be very well. They're going to do very, very well with the kids he has. Jeff Jones does a good job of putting kids in positions to excel. He's not afraid to sub in and try somebody else if they need to go with something different to get the result they want. And then you just have our teams that are, you know, like Episcopal. Episcopal's going to have, under Chris Beckman, is going to have 24, 25 wins a year. They played Dunham Friday night in a huge district game. Southern Lab has really done well this year with Devin Clark now back in Baton Rouge coaching. And it's a little bit of a different dynamic than when he coached with Coach Hawkins before. And when he played, you got some different parameters in terms of where kids are now in school. You don't have a Redemptorist anymore. You don't have an Estruma anymore. You have different schools of choice. And, of course, the other two teams I can't forget about in 5A are McKinley and East Ascension. The other district have been playing very, very well. McKinley leads the district, of course, and won a great game over EA a couple of weeks ago. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. In 4A, I really like Plaquemine a lot. Always a team that plays hard every night. I mean, I just don't think you can go wrong. And I saw a great girls game last night, too, with Denham Springs and Zachary.
Well, and what I was going to ask you about is Denham Springs has two or three losses on the year, one of them coming to St. Michael's. I just feel like that Tammy McClure has done an outstanding job at St. Michael year in and year out.
Oh, she can, there are certain coaches like that you can pencil in, and it was that way when you had Hawkins and even some of the other people. But, yeah, Tammy can be your coach of the year every year. And she gets as much as she can out of her kids. You go out and watch them play. She doesn't have a 6-foot post player. There's certain things that they don't have, but they're going to be fundamentally sound. They're going to play within the system that they have. And they just find a way to win. That's the bottom line.
She's not scared to schedule the tough opponents either.
No, and she'll schedule the tough opponents. And see, Parkview Baptist has done that too with their young team this year, where they've scheduled some tougher opponents the last 2 years with the idea that they'd get these kids ready and make a run. And sure enough, they're very good.
And they have a tiebreaker game coming up against Episcopal on Saturday, correct?
What's that?
They have the Parkview girls have a tiebreaker game against Episcopal on Saturday?
No, they don't play Episcopal. That's a different class. That's they're in the same district with U High. Now, U High has to get through this week. U High has a couple of games. And U High is also down a few players with injuries. So I'm not exactly sure how that's going to – I've got to make some calls on that to see exactly what they have planned. I think that was the initial plan, but U High already had 3 games scheduled this week. So they're – I don't know if they've shifted things or what they're doing, but it's going to be interesting to see how that one goes.
So they're playing it on a neutral site.
They usually do, yes, unless they decide to, hey, I'll go to your place or whatever. Then I'd put the
I doubt
for.
That.
Robin, well, but if you play a neutral site, you have to pay for that gym. If you pay at your gym, my gym, or your or somebody else or the other team's gym, you can split the gate.
Robin, before we let you go, and certainly we can talk to you the whole show really about a lot of these topics. A good fit, in your opinion, for Dwayne Jenkins over at Lutcher?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's where he's from. It's a job that, originally could have been his, mm-hmm. Depending on when the dynamics had fallen, when they did. And it's the right timing for Coach Dettillier. Not exactly sure whether Tim is going to remain on as the AD at St. James or whether they'll have something else for him or whether he'll wind up doing something else. And that would be okay. In a lot of cases, that doesn't really work when you have the former coach who stays and they're looking over your shoulder. But those two, I think, could.
And based on the job that Dwayne's done to elevate the expectations at St. James, I would think this coaching position now is a little bit more attractive, and there's going to be a coach that –
Well,
make
and not
move.
And not just and not just the fact that he's elevated the program, you've got a brand new football stadium, and they have just finished plans to build a new high school.
Oh, wow!
So you've got a new high school, you've got a new stadium. Everything is at an all-time high. Now you may be looking a year or so down, another year or two down the line for the new high school to open, but that was all part of a master plan. When they bought the turf for Lutcher. Kind of an interesting story. When they bought the artificial turf for Lutcher several years ago, they got a package deal. They bought turf for St. James at the same time, knowing they would build a new stadium. And there were a lot of people who were kind of skeptical. What? They're really going to do that? Well, yeah, they did.
Have you heard any initial candidates for that job?
Well, I'd mentioned Robert Valdez.
Really?
He still is in Letcher.
Interesting.
Because I tell you what, I really didn't know him before this year. He's just really the discipline that he's really installed at Scotlandville and willingness to be on the show. And he's just really
he's a great addition. And, you know, he's talked about moving to Baton Rouge. I don't know what he sees in his future. I know he's a very, very attractive candidate for that job because he lives in the area. And commutes to Baton Rouge every day. And, you know, there's talk about some of the people, some of the other candidates who had applied for the Letcher job. And, of course, what's interesting, too, is you have a couple of guys on the staff at Letcher who are from St. James. What if they would choose to apply for it? You got a lot of possibilities there.
Well, we certainly will be following it, and we will do so via the Advocate, via Robin Fambro on Twitter, FambroADV, at FambroADV, Robin?
That's correct.
Well, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
How did we get through this without talking about the LHSAA? That's amazing.
I realized that about 10 minutes too late.
Oh, that's okay. Well, my thing is I've probably talked about it too much and written about it too much.
I know there's still stories to be written about it.
There will be.
To get the latest. Robin, as always, thanks so much.
Hey, take care, and you guys have a great evening.
There you go. One of the absolute best, Robin Fambro of The Advocate, joining us, as I said, at Fambro ADV on Twitter. Todd and I will be right back, and we'll join you here at Schlitz and Giggles underneath the Perkins Road overpass. It's Louisiana Prep Weekly.
104.5.
104.9.
ESPN.
Baton Rouge.
This is Coach Todd.
This is Louisiana Prep Weekly on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Welcome back to Louisiana Prep Weekly. Cade Wazan, Todd Black, Jimmy Roy on assignment tonight. Live from Schlitz and Giggles here underneath the Perkins Road overpass. It's now time for our LSU basketball update brought to you by the Baton Rouge Orthopedic Clinic. It's our Jackson basketball update. Jackson, give me an update on what's going on with the Tigers.
Well, LSU's playing at South Carolina, and it's 35-39, and there's a minute 50 seconds left in the half, but it's just been kind of a shootout.
But you were telling me something a little bit more. What you said, LSU's killing themselves. So tell the whole story.
Explain, yeah.
They just keep missing a lot of free throws. Like, when they get fouled, they're just not able to make them.
I missed the line they had a while ago on the free throw percentage, and they made, what, three?
3 of 11 or something that way.
Yeah.
Seem to be playing better. And
you can catch it on Eagle 98.1 tonight, by the way. After you're done listening to us this evening, flip on over to Eagle 98.1.
Good job, Jackson.
You do know Jack, by the way.
Right now they're building houses with all the bricks they're getting.
Oh, he's going to let you know that one.
He's got the jokes, too.
Yep.
Coach, a really cool thing that one of our supporters is involved with. I know that's something you wanted to mention. Our friends over at the
Well, Greg Flores, and he's been a sponsor of the show with
Summer Grove
Condominiums. It's the Capital Regions Builders Foundation Home for Good.
It used to be named something else. If people are familiar with the kind of the process of what they do.
Well, and basically, Women's Hospital Foundation is the beneficiary charity. Mm-hmm. So all the proceeds will go to Women's Hospital, and, it's $100 a ticket, but it's a house that's worth over $500,000. But, you know, when you really do something like this, it's not about, obviously, you'd like to win the $500,000, but it's about, you know, the charity it's helping and the cause. And once again, this is Capital Regions Builders Foundation Home for Good.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it's in that area, maybe in the Shenandoah area, or am I?
It's Lexington Estates.
Okay. Maybe it was different last year. For some reason, I remember it being. But I know we were involved with it in kind of helping promote it in years past. And the idea, it's done in different ways. This type of of charity event, and anytime you can get involved, when you think about it, $100 for a chance to win a $500,000 house, and if you don't win, you're still giving $100 towards a great cause.
Absolutely.
So it's a really cool thing. Before we go, certainly show will be on demand.
It used to be known as Miracle Mansion.
Miracle Mansion, there you go. 1045ESPN.com. Ryan does a great job putting that up for us each and every week. And we look forward to having you share it with your friends, and we certainly will post it on Facebook, on Twitter, at Louisiana Prep, at 1045ESPN. Todd, any closing thoughts, though? I know the LHSA decision is still fresh in our minds. We're working closely to find out how things are developing, if anything changes. A big news for next week's show, though, it's going to be a Hall of Fame show, and we're real excited to bring in some legends, some Baton Rouge legends here to Schlitz and Giggles.
Well, we have committed is Kenny Guyot. He was inducted or will be an inductee this year.
The LHSA?
With the LHSAA. I talked with he was from Parkview also at the same time. ML Carr is a ML Woodruff, ML Carr, you know, who played with the – God, doesn't that show my age? Coach Woodruff was with Parkview, a great baseball coach over there. He's also inducted at the same time. He won't be here next week but the following, and we're hoping to get Brenda LeBlanc, the volleyball coach over at St. Joe, to be a part as well.
Yeah, the Louisiana High School Sports Hall of Fame, and I believe – trying to figure out the exact dates here. The banquet will be held – in their honor on April 12th at the Crown Plaza in Baton Rouge, but a great way to honor those who have had impacts on young men and women's lives here in Baton Rouge, and we look forward to that show next week. So, for Jackson joining us for a great job on the LSU update, Jimmy Roy on assignment tonight, Ryan back in studio, my co-host, of course, Todd Black. Thanks so much to Robin Fambro from The Advocate. I am Cade Wazan. We'll see you next week. This is Louisiana Prep Weekly, presented by GMFS, live from Schlitz and Giggles underneath the Perkins Road overpass on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.